Hi, my name is Jose Miguel Barrela, and I'm a field marketing manager with the open source strategy team at Microsoft. And today we're going to show how to create a mobile service that has both an HTML JavaScript client and an Android client as well, and it's all running on Windows Azure. The first thing we'll do is to create a new mobile service. So on our Windows Azure management portal, we can see that we have only one mobile service created right now, so we click on New. We already have mobile service selected. We click on Create, and we name our new mobile service. Then we select which SQL database we want to use. We can use an existing database. We can create a new one. We can create a new instance and scale it out. So what I'll do now is just choose an existing SQL database in the West US region. I should already have one server running right there, so here it is. Login name and password that you're ready to find when you created your database server. So the mobile service is going to be created right now. We can see it right here. It's going to create a cloud service. It's going to create the mobile parts of it. It's going to connect to the database. Actually, mobile services can run you don't need to stop them or to start them because they only consume resources when they are actually used by a user. The things that you can do with your mobile service in terms of scaling it out when you are running your service is basically you can switch from the free mode to a basic mode where you can scale by different metrics such as API calls. Or you can also work in a standard mode, which defines a little bit more of unit availability for scaling out your service. So I'm now going to discard this. The mobile service was created. I'm going to dismiss all those messages, and I'm going to go back here. As you can see, I have my mobile service just created, and I can do several things now. The quick start cloud icon that I have here allows me to start working on different platforms, including HTML, JavaScript, which is operating system and browser agnostic. But I can also work with data, custom APIs, identity, and some other stuff as well. So what I'll do now is I'll click on HTML, JavaScript, and then create a new HTML app. So what I'll do now is to download an HTML, JavaScript app that implements a to-do item list. So before I download it, I need to create a table. So I actually created a to-do item table, and this goes to the SQL Server database that we defined when we created the mobile service, and actually creates a table, the columns, the indices, and the rest of things that we need to operate this table. So as you can see, on my to-do item table, I have no records. I could potentially run a script for CRUD operations using JavaScript from the browser. I can see columns, I can define permissions, etc. So going back to our quick start, we already created a table, and now I'm going to download the app. So downloading the app is basically just downloading a zip file, and once I do this, what I like to do is just to extract the zip file that I just got. So I'll extract it right here, because what I'll do now is I can operate this site as I please. I mean, I could transfer this content to a Linux server like this one, and my package will contain a launch Linux script that I can use to actually launch a small web server on a specific port, and I can start using my application right away on a Linux server. I also have a command for Mac. I also have a command for Windows. So I could do that, or I could use Windows Azure. So I'll use Windows Azure for this example, and it's actually very easy now that I have extracted the application. So I'll park this for a minute, and I'll go to New. Then I'll select, instead of mobile service, I'll select website, and then I'll do quick create. So let's define a name for this. Let's call it CSI Mobile Service 02, and then I'll select a region. I could use West US affinity with my database and my mobile service for performance, but I can also deploy elsewhere and this will work over the internet. So I'll choose West US for this one and I create my website. Creating websites is actually very fast, and actually deploying the content is very easy depending on what I need to do. And Azure offers me several options for this. I could deploy using Git. I could deploy using a Coplex project. I could use WebMatrix. I could use other types of source control, or I could use Visual Studio Online, which is what I will use. So I go to configure. This is a preview function. I enable, edit in Visual Studio Online. I save. And I go back to my dashboard. And I should have an icon right here, which says edit in Visual Studio Online as soon as it's enabled. So this uses different credentials. For my Windows Azure Management Portal, I use my Microsoft account. For Visual Studio Online, you have to create different credentials, but if you have deployed from source control, those are the same. So it's actually pretty easy. So I input my credentials, and what I'll have now is a browser-based IDE. And this one has a parking kind of HTML file compressed, as you can see, with some content right there. I'm gonna delete it, so I just right click on it and delete. And what I'll do now is just upload the file that I just extracted. So see my index, JavaScript, and CSS files. I don't need to upload what's in the server folder. Those are just scripts for actually launching the web server on my development environment. So I just need to upload these three things. So I've just uploaded that. I go back to Management Portal and I click on Browse. So I have a Windows Azure Mobile Services sample application that implements a to-do item. And this is already running. It's connecting to the mobile service that we created. And I see an error message here. The reason why this happens is because I need to define which endpoints, in this case it's this host name, can actually use my website. This is very easy to do, and it's actually explained right here in my mobile services quick start. So if I go here and I go back to create a new HTML application, it's actually step number 3. It's configure your host names. To enable websites, I need to configure which host names can run. By default, it will allow localhost, but since I'm using Windows Azure, I need to define that as well. So I just click there. This is the Configure tab of Windows Azure Mobile Services, and I can define, I can actually use also wildcards. So for cross-origin resource sharing, I can use wildcards that can help me define this in a more easy and straightforward way. Or I could just paste the name of the hostname that I'm going to use. I save. I'm just going to dismiss all the message that I have here. So as you can see, I now have localhost and the my specific website. I could also have, as I said, inputted a wildcard like asterisk, or I could do something like asterisk.azurewebsites.net, depending on what I need to accomplish. This is a JavaScript limitation or feature, I would say. So I can reload now my application. I shouldn't get the error message anymore. And as I said, this is connected to both my mobile service and my SQL database, and I see that I have 0 items. So I can start inputting some content right now. For example, I could take some left to right text right here. And this message is, this is just another message. So these messages actually are on the database, and I can see that. I can click on data, I can click on my to-do item table, and I should see the two records right there. So this is a very simple way of implementing mobile service. I could continue editing the code to make it more complex and use more tables and use client-side logic for my application, but I could also define an API. Defining an API will help me if I need to do operations that are not just CRUD. So if I need to do something else that is not creating, reading, updating, or deleting items from this database, I can define a custom API. There are several things that I can do with custom APIs, such as messaging, notifications, etc. Right now, what I'll do is just create an API that executes a custom SQL query on my backend database. So I'll click on Create a Custom API, and we are going to call this service. It's going to find a name right here, so it's going to be complete all. So complete all, so all lower caps. I can define the permissions for this, and these are HTTP verbs or methods. So I can say this is a method that will only work with post. So let's do everyone, but I can also use authenticated users or administrators if I actually implement identity later on. So I'll create complete all now, and then I'll proceed to define the code. I already have it ready right here, and I'll explain it. So just click here. I have some sample script here that, as you see, implements both post and get. We're only going to use post. So this is the code. This is implements post. It uses one of my capabilities on custom APIs, which is Microsoft SQL Server capabilities. It has a SQL query right here, which basically sets a flag on a column that's called complete for a specific. It sets a flag for all items that are not completed. That's why it's called complete all. And then after that, it sends successful message 200 code, and then it sends how many results have been completed or updated on the database. So I'll just save this right now. This custom API method is not ready to be called from my client. In this case, the client is this Windows Azure mobile service. So again, we'll use Visual Studio Online for this. The first thing that I want to do, if this is a method that basically marks as completed all the items on my database, so basically what I'd like to do is to add a new button that it's going to be called clear, or let's call it complete all. This button, it's not going to be submit. We're going to call it button complete all. And I don't need to say, Visual Studio Online does this for me. And then on my JavaScript file, where I already have, as I mentioned, it has implemented this to-do item list. What I'll do after this refresh to-do items function is I'll just create a new function. It's going to be called complete all to-do items, and then this function basically will call the API method that I just defined and show me an alert, a pop-up window with the number of items that have been marked complete. So I'll just copy the code now, but I wanted to make sure that you understand what I'm doing here. So I'm creating this function, and I'm sending the number of items that are marked complete. I'm invoking the complete all method that I created on my backend. I'm using the post method, and I'm calling this refresh to do items method, which was already created before. And then finally, what I'll add here is I'll attach an event to the bottom complete all button. So when we click it, it calls the complete all to-do items. I could just paste this code inside here as well, just doing it for readability. So this is saved now as well. Now I can go back to my application, reload. I should have an add button. I'm just gonna double check here very quickly. I don't have any errors in my JavaScript before doing anything. It seems like I don't have any errors. And if I click on complete all, two items are marked as complete. Click OK, it refreshes, and I don't have items anymore. It doesn't mean that the items have been deleted. If I go to data and I explore my table, I still have the two items there, but as you can see, the complete column now it has true. So if I continue to add new things, so for example, I add this as a new item. If I refresh this, I should get a third item on my list, and this one has false. So this one is actually going to show up until I click the complete all button. So I have implemented a custom API method. I have implemented the to-do-item functionality. This is just all connected to database server, Azure websites. I'm using Visual Studio Online, etc. I'm doing this all from the browser. And what I'll do now is take a look at the functionality for Android as well. So I click on my little cloud icon here for my quick start page. I click on Android and create a new Android app. First thing I need to do is to install the ADT. I've already done that. Create a table, already done that as well. So I just need to download and run the app. So this is an Eclipse project that I can use to get started with my Android application right now, which is what I'll do next. So I go to my ADT bundle, go to Eclipse, launch Eclipse, and I downloaded a zip file which I'm gonna import. So this zip file I'm gonna import into Eclipse. You can just follow the instructions here. So I'm gonna import existing project into Workspace. I'm gonna use this is under the general category, and then I'm gonna just run the project, which will obviously build the project, and then after that it will run my application working there. So I'm gonna close the previous project that I had open here. And then I'm gonna import, select general, existing projects into Workspace, select an archive file, go to downloads, choose the one that I just downloaded. It's the CSI02 project. Click on finish. It has imported, so I right click on it, run as Android application. So this one builds the application and also launches the emulator that I have defined for my ADT environment. So while this builds and launches the emulator, let me just recap what we have done so far. So we have created a mobile service in Windows Azure. This is a mobile service that runs just as with no need to starting or stopping the service. It will just consume whatever resources I've defined depending on the actual usage of my application. I have downloaded this meant creating a table that's hosted on SQL, and this table has already been defined by my sample project. Then I downloaded a zip file for a sample HTML JavaScript application that already implements the to-do item functionality. I downloaded this, and then I just uploaded the files that I needed, the HTML, the CSS, and the JavaScript on Visual Studio Online. So those are these three files right here. And this is part of a Windows Azure website. And this Windows Azure website, I can also scale depending on what I need to do. Let me show you. You can go to your project, you can click on scale, and you can change the operating mode from free to shared to standard. You can define the instance sizes, you can define how much instances, and you can define the criteria for scaling, such as, for example, CPU thresholds or others. And then I can browse this website and actually see the solution that I just uploaded. I can interact with it, etc. So that was part one. So as you can see, the emulator is booting right here. Then second, I created an API, a custom API. And in this custom API, I used the Microsoft SQL Server functionalities to connect to the database and update a bunch of items that are not marked as complete. So this method is exposed as part of my mobile services, and then I can consume it from my JavaScript on the client side. I've used Visual Studio Online to invoke the complete all method on my API, and based on the response, show a message with how many records were actually updated. And I have implemented a button and attached a handler, so when I click on it, it actually clears these events. And then, obviously, on the server side, I just needed to write the method. I need to implement or to match any of the actual visuals, etc. And then finally, using the same project, same API, same data, etc., etc., I have just downloaded an Eclipse project that I can load on my ADT and then run an emulator. So what basically will happen is that this will run a 10-inch tablet with Android and the application inside it. So I'll see similar visuals to what I saw here. And I'll see the same data, and I can interact, I can add new data, etc., etc. And if I do any changes on the back end, I don't need to necessarily change the Android application. And I can do the same for other platforms, not just Android. I can do it for Windows Store, I can do it for Windows Phone 8, I can do it for iOS, and I can do it for Xamarin, which is an interesting option if you're trying to do some more client-side rich native code using C Sharp, and you're using Xamarin for both iOS, Android, and other type of devices. So what I'll do now is stop this video and come back when the and this is how the application looks like on Android. As you can see, I have my item here, and I can create a new item from the Android device. Excuse the lag, it's due to the emulator. And I can add this, and it will talk to the mobile service in the back end. It will add it, that will in turn add it to the database, and then I'll get it back here. I can click on the refresh button on top if I need it, and it will show up here. And I can, once it's loaded, as again the emulator is a little bit slow, I can see it running on my web application as well, since they're both connected to the same database and cloud service. The interesting thing is that I can scale this out. I can have different types of devices, from PC to Android to iOS, and different approaches. See, I have the Android item here. I can refresh here and see the new two ones that I have just created. See a new item for Android device, and soon the other one will show up. So, and also different approaches, not just different devices. I can use Xamarin, and there's more in the future. And by using HTML and JavaScript, I really have the flexibility to choose different types of approaches, such as PhoneGap and other HTML5-based solutions. Actually, I can just use my phone and visit the Azure mobile this Azure mobile service site from the phone, and see how it looks. And actually, I'm doing that right now on a Nokia Lumia 925 with I'm gonna just click on complete all on my phone. I get a message. It says three items marked as complete. I'll click on OK. See that now it disappeared from the Android device. And since I don't have an auto refresh on the HTML1, I have to refresh manually. But there you go. I'm just using it from my phone, and it looks like a responsive application on the phone as well. So this is how we create connected Windows Azure mobile services using open source solutions. Only the browser and your native tools of choice. No need for Visual Studio, no need for, actually I could have done this on a Linux machine with a browser. So it's a great tool for you to deploy fast, flexible, and open solutions on a world-class public cloud vendor. So